Inside Florida Politics, powered by Gannett. Hello, I'm Sarasota Herald Tribune political editor Zach Anderson, and I'm joined as always from Tallahassee by Gannett State Capitol reporter John Kennedy. Hey, John.
Hello, Zach.
Well, Governor Ron DeSantis got the ball rolling this week on lifting the lockdown he put in place to contain the coronavirus. We'll talk about the delicate balance that the governor is trying to strike as he works to restart the economy without compromising public health. And we'll also touch on some of the ways the coronavirus continues to impact the state, including the ongoing threat to nursing homes and the big backlog in unemployment claims. But first, you all know what that music means. John, you want to lay it on us? What's your number today?
Yeah, Zach, I did find a number for this week, and it sounds like a bad reading on a thermometer since we're so focused on testing and more testing these days. But my number is
61.3. 61.3. Yeah, that would be a very bad reading. I think that patient would be in critical condition, but probably wouldn't have the coronavirus because I think that doesn't equate to a fever. Well, my number is 5.1 million. So I got you beat this week. That's 61.3 for John, 5.1 million for me. Remember those numbers, folks. Write them down. We will tell you what they mean for Florida politics at the end of the show. Well, DeSantis received a lot of criticism for waiting longer than most governors to institute a stay-at-home order to contain the coronavirus. And as he contemplates reopening, he seems determined to get broader buy-in for his approach. If being too slow to enter the lockdown was a concern for health experts, so is being too fast to come out of it. And so DeSantis was emphasizing caution Wednesday when he announced phase one of his reopening plan. He used words like smart and safe and step-by-step, deliberate, to describe the approach. John, what are some of the details of this first phase of reopening? And do you think the governor is striking the right tone here?
Well, the governor is easing back on the month-long shutdown. That the ease back will begin on Monday, May 4th. He's letting restaurants that now have been limited to just takeout to begin offering outdoor dining and indoor table service for up to 25% capacity. And retail stores that up until now were not considered essential services can now welcome customers inside, but also have to be limited to 25% capacity. On the job and workplaces, he's encouraging employers to continue emphasizing remote working while social distancing and face masks would be urged among those returning to work, but none of this is mandated. The governor isn't opening bars, gyms, or movie theaters, or allowing hairdressers and other personal services to come back into business. The governor is also breaking somewhat with the White House on theaters and gyms, which would be allowed to open under the first stage of the White House's three-phased guidance for states that are looking to restart. But, you know, DeSantis is still talking up the need to expand testing, and he points to the state's rising numbers. But, you know, there are really few requirements in this reopen order. There's nothing that says, you know, temperatures should be taken of employees, for example, coming back to work, or no requirement that customers at a clothing store, you know, wear masks to protect themselves or their workers. DeSantis had appointed a big task force that spent hours over the course of last week kicking around all kinds of you know, business needs and requirements that they may want before they reopen. But in the end, the task force's wishes never really formalized into a document that's been made public. That has never really surfaced, and it's never really seemed to be part of DeSantis's ultimate plan. Instead, the governor is kind of coming in with a sort of an aspirational wish list, you know, something similar to what President Trump has outlined with his phased-in reopening, where it's going to be left to individual businesses to enact safeguards, as many of them think are needed and or that they can afford to do, in some effort to bring customers back in. All told, the governor acknowledge that coronavirus cases may climb in the slow rekindled economy, but he said that as long as hospital capacity remained at current levels, testing continued to expand, and the rate of positive results stayed low, that he'll continue to work toward phase two and expand even more social and business interactions. He emphasized that he expects that to happen in weeks, not months. So he's ready to kind of keep this expansion going. But, you know, he's kind of rolling the dice. He's banking on basically that what seems to be the idea that a herd immunity will eventually set in, where enough people are exposed to the coronavirus that we never reach that big peak of hospitalization that had been warned about and which basically inspired the shutdown. He borrowed some phrasing from Franklin Roosevelt when he talked repeatedly about the paralyzing effect of fear. He said that we need to focus on what he called facts, not fear. The governor, though, also seemed to spend a lot of time dismissing some of the forecast models that projected much higher death rates in Florida and the signs that the hospitals would be overwhelmed. He criticized those who fanned such fears. I guess, you know, since his eventual embrace of a stay-at-home order, which remember he only did after President Trump issued a more sweeping social distance mandate, that basically, you know, the worst did not happen. So, you know, DeSantis to a certain degree is maybe taking a victory lap right now.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. I mean, he is sort of trying to sort of say, I told you so, and pushing back a little bit on his critics. Not a little bit, quite a bit. I mean, a lot of that press conference yesterday was him kind of saying, oh, the doom and gloom that people were predicting didn't happen, and I was taking the prudent, measured approach. But at the same time, he seems to also be trying to avoid some of the same criticism as he reopens here. I mean, he's being very careful to say this is slow and safe and deliberate and prudent and, you know, very trying to project a lot of caution here. It does seem like he has recalibrated a little bit and is trying to emphasize, and not that he hasn't emphasized public safety, but really trying to make sure that people recognize that this isn't a fast reopening. This isn't Georgia. You're not going to kick the doors open and every business is going to reopen immediately. In some sense, do you think that means that he's internalized some of that criticism that he got from waiting too long for the lockdown?
Yeah, I think the governor has seen what happened when the criticism that he got nationwide for being slow and moving toward a shutdown, and then also, you know, the bad optics that have been out there about Florida with reopened beaches. That is always something that you know, maybe looks worse on national television than the reality of people, you know, walking on the beaches relatively separated. But DeSantis is kind of sensitive to that, I think, right now. And he is trying to cut a path here that, you know, he can not really be blamed for accelerating things too fast. But at the same time, you know, I think a lot of the business community and a lot of the restaurants and hotels that were all like part of this task force, they were looking for perhaps a little bit more specifics from the governor. To a certain degree, right, they're also looking for a little bit of legal protection, where, you know, right, the state offers some specific guidelines to businesses to how to reopen, and that way, if somebody does contract a coronavirus by going to their store, they can say, well, you know, we did everything that the state asked us to do. In this case, it's more like you, the stores, you know, do use your own judgment as far as what kind of protections you want to kind of mandate within your own store. You know, things like a 25% reopening of retail and restaurants when it comes to capacity, that's also a question mark, because some companies may not do it because you wonder about the financial ability for places to open up only quarter way. A restaurant that, you know, it has to bring staff back, get equipment back online, get supplies in, and then, you know, they can only serve 25% of the people. So it's a little bit of a yin and yang right there when it comes to how far people will go to reopen their businesses right now.
Yeah, it is notable. He convened this task force. A lot of what they did was focus on what were some of the best practices and what types of things businesses should be doing. I remember listening to the head of Burger King and Popeyes fast food franchises talking about taking employees' temperatures and doing certain things to sanitize his restaurants and things like that. And it sounds like none of these got formalized in the governor's executive order. What, they're basically saying, check with the CDC what they're recommending?
Yeah, basically. They're urging companies to go look at the CDC guidelines, which also are fairly, fairly ambivalent when it comes to do you have to do it or not? It's more like, you know, here are some best practices, but there's nothing that sort of says definitively you should be doing it. So, I don't know. Companies may feel kind of skittish when they're reopening the doors, and they fear, you know, there's always the fear of lawsuits when it comes to somebody that claims they contracted a coronavirus by virtue of going to somebody's establishment.
Yeah, you wonder if that inspires confidence in consumers if they see businesses doing all sorts of different things and there's no real uniform standard here. John, what do you think about some of the politics of this? You know, the Democrats were really on DeSantis about the slowness of going into the lockdown, and you know, they've been hammering him on things like getting more testing and things like that. But it was interesting, Nikki Fried, the agriculture commissioner, who is, you know, the leading Democrat in the state, the only statewide elected Democrat, she put out a press release after DeSantis announced this first phase of reopening. And she said, I'm encouraged by this cautious approach. And I agree that Florida's reopening must be measured in phases and based on science and data. So, you know, she's not taking a shot at him here. And she has taken a lot of shots at him throughout this. I mean, you think that there's a sense here that people do want to start reopening, and that, you know, the politics, while, you know, people want caution, they don't necessarily want to be in a lockdown forever.
Yeah, I mean, I think if everyone recognizes that, and they realize the incredible convulsive impact this is having on the state's economy right now. So, Fried was notably excluded from the task force, and that you know, a remarkable step for a statewide elected official to just be excluded like that. But I think DeSantis didn't want the possibility of having Fried emerge as a prominent skeptic maybe of the direction that he was looking to go. So he the best answer for the Republican governor was to exclude the state's lone statewide elected Democrat. But it does seem like right now, a lot of the Republican establishment is championing the direction that the governor is going. You're not hearing a lot of super harsh criticism from the Democrats, with the exception of, you know, they're seeing DeSantis as doing the bidding of President Trump. That seems to be the recurring theme coming from Democrats. And, you know, right. I guess DeSantis kind of builds into it a little bit by going to the White House and sitting down for a brief news conference in the Oval Office with President Trump the day before he announces the reopening. So, there is that parallel. There's no doubt that DeSantis is a complete protege of the president, and is looking to do what the White House would like to see him do going forward.
Going to the White House, though, also gives him some political cover on the right, though. You know, if conservatives might be concerned that he's not reopening fast enough, but if he gets Trump's blessing, there's not going to be a lot of criticism about that, because people are not going to want to criticize, you know, a plan that has been approved by the president. So, I mean, this maybe gives him a little bit of a political cover to take this approach that he's taken. So, well, even as Florida starts reopening, the coronavirus threat is far from eliminated, and elder care facilities like nursing homes and assisted living communities are a particular concern. There are now more than 3,000 cases tied to more than 400 long-term care facilities and nearly 400 deaths in these facilities. There's been a lot of talk about protecting this population, but trying to keep asymptomatic nursing home staff from transmitting the virus has proven Very, very difficult. More than 1,000 elder care workers have contracted the coronavirus in Florida, and they're spreading it to patients. Here in Southwest Florida, 36 nursing homes owned by the same company had 26 patients die and dozens infected. John, the failure to protect these nursing home residents continues to be a big problem, and it can only get more difficult as the state reopens. What has DeSantis been saying about this?
Well, the governor seems very aware of the risks that nursing homes pose and face right now. You know, many in places like rural Suwannee County and urban Broward County, you know, have been overrun with coronavirus cases. Many of the nursing homes and assisted living facilities. And those are largely carried by residents who have been exposed to staff who apparently showed no real signs of the disease, but are, you know, what's called asymptomatic carriers. But DeSantis has a way of stumbling at times, and he's caught some heat for calling the state ground zero for nursing homes and saying that Florida is God's waiting room, you know, conjuring up an old joke that in this situation may have fallen flat. But, you know, he's assigned the National Guard to serve as strike teams to help conduct testing of the staff and residents at nursing homes. And as we mentioned, he is keeping in place the prohibition on visitors coming into facilities to hold down the risk of further infection. So he's not reopening nursing homes with this this order. He said he's considering adding his support to a call from the nursing home industry for lawsuit protections from any claims that would stem from, you know, families of residents of victims who die because of exposure at nursing homes. That tort reform idea would be wildly controversial and would require the legislature to enact it, which would not be that easy. The governor's administration, he refused to release the names of nursing homes where residents or staff had tested positive, and he had been fighting with media companies over this list, and his office finally did release the names of more than 300 nursing homes on a Saturday night, clearly in an attempt to downplay the news. So it's been kind of a mixed bag with him on nursing homes. He seems to be saying the right thing about protecting the most vulnerable population, and he's aware of the risks. He's rattling off the number of elderly deaths in Italy and across the nation in different states. But he seems convinced that he's done everything right. Maybe there's no surprise here that, you know, he's in almost daily touch with the White House. So he has that kind of combative approach to any questions about the direction that he's gone.
And he certainly talks a lot about the nursing homes. I mean, he mentions it at almost every press conference that, you know, these are the most vulnerable people. We have to protect them. He shut down visitation. There's requirements that, these facilities, that they wear masks, that they screen their employees for temperature and things like that. But what seems obvious is that, that's not enough, that these people who don't have symptoms, these workers, are getting into these facilities and spreading it to the residents. And, you know, he keeps talking about expanding testing at these nursing homes. But, you know, I was told this week that there's 3 homes in Sarasota County that they're trying to get testing for, but they haven't been tested all the staff yet, even though there's been significant outbreaks at these nursing homes. So it does not seem like the testing has ramped up enough to provide it to all the nursing homes and assisted living facilities that are experiencing these outbreaks right now. And that's obvious because it keeps spreading and there continues to be more deaths in these facilities. You know, it's interesting. After Hurricane Irma, you know, there was I forget exactly how many, but more than a dozen, I think, people died at a nursing home in Broward County that lost power and had really stifling conditions. And that was a huge scandal. Here you've had, you know, around 400 people die from this coronavirus. And it doesn't seem like the problem is getting any better at this point. Do you think that this could be a major liability for the governor and the state officials going forward?
Well, it sure seems like it is a dark cloud that they cannot shake right now. And yes, there's not enough testing that's been going on, you know, even though the governor keeps talking about the expansion and the number of tests that are going on. We reported this week, though, about how, you know, public health experts show that the number that the state is at is still far below the kind of ratio to 100,000 population is needed to provide any kind of assurances that people are really safe. And then the mystery of the asymptomatic carriers is something too that is haunting in these communities, where it suggests that in some of these maybe more rural areas as well, the virus is present and people don't know it. And, you know, they are somehow carrying it into the nursing homes where they work, and then they're going back home again and spreading it further. So it's, you know, within their own family and within their own community. But because testing is so rarely done, or so narrowly done, in especially in these rural places, it's an unknown. And I guess that's what we're dealing with on a lot of this going forward. But here we are. We're starting to reopen. And we'll DeSantis will, sounds like he's going to give it a couple of weeks. I think to a certain degree, he may go even quicker on some of the elements of this reopening, in that when he talks about hairdressers and personal services not being open right now, maybe even gyms, I would not be surprised if we see him, you know, expand this reopening order, maybe even in a matter of days as opposed to weeks right now, where at least some components get, you know, he adds a few more businesses to who can be open, basically. But we'll have to see. You know, he says he's going to be following the data and, you know, watching how, you know, signs of positive cases ramp up or whatever may happen. So those are all the things right now that he's going to be monitoring going forward.
Yeah, and it's not just nursing homes that continue to be a big problem. You know, there's still the issue of unemployment benefits that have yet to be paid, and the economic hardship. You know, shutting down the economy to limit the spread of the coronavirus has been a huge hardship for many people, with staggering job losses in Florida and around the country. That's why, you know, the governor is pushing to reopen, but a phased reopening isn't going to bring most of the jobs back immediately. And that's why the problems that we've covered, that you've been, you know, kind of really bird dogging up there, John, but with the state's unemployment compensation system, are so important. The governor, you know, he says his team is working nonstop to fix the system, but as of Wednesday, more than half of the claims had yet to be paid. You know, what's the latest on this, John?
It's just been one series of disasters after another for Floridians who've lost their jobs lately. We're recording this on Thursday, the same day that the U.S. Department of Labor reported that another 432,465 Floridians have filed for unemployment benefits. And those are the ones who've actually managed to submit applications for benefits. As it's well known, you know, Florida's online filing system, the Connect system, is full of glitches and computer rabbit holes that basically have people going in circles trying to file. Really, one of the most frustrating situations is dealing with the state's Department of Economic Opportunity, which oversees unemployment in the state. The cascade of problems, you know, it started with the dysfunctional online filing system, and it's now led to issues where those who manage to file a claim are being told that they are ineligible for one reason or another. Many are, anyway, as you pointed out. Possibly it's a technical problem, possibly it's because they are self-employed, or possibly because they didn't work long enough to qualify for benefits in Florida. But no one ever really gets a reason as to why they were denied. But this week, these people that have recently been denied were told to reapply in hopes of getting a more than the $600 weekly benefits that the federal government is offering. There is some chance that they would qualify for that. So
the federal government is paying people who are part-time and gig workers and other things that might disqualify them for state benefits.
Yeah. So that's where the state is saying, you know, try again. And also they're acknowledging that there were some technical problems with the Kinect system back in the early stages, say like March and early April. So, you know, that may have led to your being declared ineligible. So they're basically telling people to file again, which of course is another nightmare of people trying to navigate the system. And it's also going to put more burden on the system, which is barely functional to begin with. You know, the big tech company Deloitte designed the Kinect site back in the days of former Governor Rick Scott. But I'm convinced that Dante must have had something to do with it, because it really does seem like a level of hell envisioned in, you know, his epic poem, The Inferno. But as
deny,
a stand,
deny, they don't tell you why you were denied, but just reapply. Don't you know? Yeah, you'll never learn what the problem is.
Oh, I know. Isn't that? I mean, it's crazy. But you know, as it stands, the state has received well more than 800,000 claims. It's paid less than half, and it's denied almost 300,000 people benefits. And everyone has been waiting weeks, in some cases since mid-March. But when you think about it, the massive number of Floridians who are without paychecks are certainly going to have, they're going to be an anchor on the state, on any hope that DeSantis might have of bringing back this economy. He's thrown millions of dollars at this unemployment system right now, trying to get it to work. Thousands of staffers that he's added trying to make it work. But it seems beyond repair. And DeSantis has called it his number one economic priority, but that promise rings pretty hollow for families that now are struggling to pay rent or, you know, put food on the table.
Yeah, it seems like a mess. You know, it is notable. There's, you know, they have paid out $550 million in claims. About 400,000 people have gotten their claims paid. But that's out of more than 800,000 who have submitted claims. So, I mean, how long do you wait? I mean, what good are unemployment benefits for those half of the people who haven't gotten paid if they don't get them for weeks and you know, their mortgage comes due and their bills come due? It seems like there should be a lot of urgency to getting the money out to these people as quickly as possible.
This is a consumer economy, you know, and Florida is no greater example of it than, you know, we rely on sales tax revenue and just keep, you know, the interchange of buying and selling is what keeps us going. And when you have people that are worried about, you know, how much money they have on hand, they're not going to go out and buy. So that's going to hold down the economy for a long time going forward.
For sure. Well, we're going to move on to some number picking here. You threw out a 61.3. You want to tell us about that?
I did. It's a little bit of good news, maybe. My 61.3 is millions of dollars that the state's general revenue forecast was overestimate for the that's according to the March report that was just released this week by state economists. That's remarkable. The state actually taking in more money than anticipated in tax collections at a time when most news is about the cratering economy. But, you know, I will add there are some real caveats here that sales tax collections, the state's biggest item, was actually down, and they mostly reflect collections taken in only during the month of February. So the state shutdown didn't really begin in earnest until the third week of March, when bars closed and restaurants were, they went to takeout only. But any overestimate right now when it comes to tax collections is a good thing for the state. The estimated tax collections are what the state legislature uses to build the state's budget, $93 billion for the year that begins in July. And collections came in better than forecasted in January and February, too. So Florida is about $200 million ahead of its financing expected. So the state has had a little bit of a cushion developing there for a while. But of course, you know, the dark side is that the next round of reporting for April is likely to be way under forecast, where, you know, sales tax collection accounts for about 3 out of every 4 state dollars, and no spending means no sales tax collections. Now, you know, groceries are exempt from sales tax collections. So those staying at home to cook aren't contributing much to the state treasury. And this week, we also heard some independent analysis from the Florida Policy Institute. They warned that the state, that $4.6 billion that the state is getting under the Federal CARES Act, which is designed to help with the coronavirus crisis, that's not going to be enough to offset what is expected to be, you know, huge tax losses that really undermine almost every area of spending in the state budget. So, you know, more help is expected from, you know, from Congress. So there's expected to be more money for the states coming. But as we know, you know, there's a fight underway right now about how far to go.
Yeah. Just think about that. $4.6 billion is not enough to handle the projected shortfall. That is daunting. It's pretty remarkable that, you know, that there is a little bit of a cushion, but I think $200 million of excess revenue in the first few months is going to look like not too much of a cushion as we move into the next round of reporting on these numbers. Well, my number is 5.1 million. That's the amount of money the Ritz-Carlton in Sarasota received through the Federal Paycheck Protection Program. That's notable because the Ritz is one of the swankiest hotels around, and it's tapping into a government hardship program for small businesses. The paycheck protection effort has helped many businesses stay afloat and pay their employees during these lockdowns, but it also has been criticized for giving money to big corporate chains such as Shake Shack and Ruth's Chris, and lucrative businesses like the Los Angeles Lakers. So giving money to a luxury resort like the Ritz could add to some of that criticism. Well, that wraps up another episode of Inside Florida Politics. I want to thank our audio production team of Thomas Cordy, Joseph Rosano, and thanks to all of you for listening. Stay safe. We're out of here.